time to get organized in your life. You may have heard that before or told yourself the very same thing, but where to start? Welcome to Let's Get Organized with Meryl Starr. Join us today as we focus on a part of your physical or emotional space that could use some help decluttering. Now, here's Meryl Starr.
Good morning, everyone. What a glorious, glorious day it is. I am so excited about today's show. My cousin Fran, the nanny, is here. Oh, I'm so excited. You know, she's an actress, an author, a philanthropist, and a leading health advocate. She currently stars as Los Angeles florist Fran in TV Land's new sitcom, Happily Divorced, written by Fran, the nanny, and by Peter, Mark Jacobson, from the nanny. Happily Divorced is inspired by Fran's real-life experience and follows Los Angeles florist Fran, whose 18-year marriage ends suddenly when her husband announces he's gay. Fran received 2 Emmy Awards and 2 Golden Globe nominations for her portrayal as the lovable Miss Fine on the hit series The Nanny. OMG. A show she also created, wrote, directed, and executive produced. She's the author of Enter Whining and Cancer Schmancer, both of which made the New York Times bestseller list. Oh, and I should mention also Being Wendy, which is a fabulous New York Times well, I'm going to say it was a bestseller, because to me it was. It's a children's book, and it's just wonderful. She is a cancer survivor of 13 years, a leading health advocate. She is the president and visionary of the Cancer Schmancer movement, and she was instrumental in getting the United States' first Gynecological Cancer Education and Awareness Act passed into law, and is now working with the Center of Disease Control and Prevention to use the appropriated funds to best reach all women. How spectacular is she? Fran has also been appointed to the distinguished position of Special Envoy for Women's Health Issues by the U.S. State Department. You know, what can you say? She's so fabulous and so out there and always talking about her cause, and is always open and available to speak to anybody, and is out there for all of us. Trash Cancer is a big program that's going on with Cancer Schmancer right now, and that's exactly what we're going to talk about. She's going to be here in a couple of minutes, and we're going to talk to her. You know, basically, it's about detoxing your home. And all of you that have been listening and following the show all along, I'm always talking about decreasing the clutter in our lives. And that's exactly what Fran is saying when we're saying trash cancer. Go through your homes and get rid of the clutter, the things that are there that, for me, not only hold good energy, but are toxic to your minds, your bodies, and your souls. So we're going to be talking about that in a couple of minutes. I'm going to take a quick 30-second break, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Each week, you hear Meryl Starr give some great tips to getting organized on her radio show. But how can you find out more about Meryl and possibly use her organization services to your advantage? Visit MerylStarr.com. Meryl provides consultation to help you organize your personal space, your workspace, and your life space. Appointments are available by phone or by Skype. You can schedule your session at MerylStarr.com. Also, find out information about Meryl's books, available through Amazon. You need to get organized. Visit MerylStarr.com today.
Hello. Well, if you're just joining me, this is Meryl Starr. You're listening to Let's Get Organized with Meryl Starr, and I believe my cousin is here.
Hi, doll. How are you?
Oh, I'm fabulous. It's so great to hear your voice.
Thank you. It's good to hear your voice, too. How you doing, cousin?
I'm doing great. I really am. I'm so glad that, you know, that you're here on the show. And,
Thank you.
I don't know if you ever got a chance to listen, but basically I talk about anything that can improve the quality of your life.
Mm.
That's what the show is about. So whether, you know, people are looking to find their fashion sense or they need to clean up their credit score or we're going to talk about trashing cancer, it all has to do with getting the clutter out of your life. And you know that's just my MO.
Yes, I love it. And, you know, you walk the talk, and I'm really proud of you, and I love you.
I love you, too. We're so lucky. But, you know, I just need to start out by, you know, kind of bragging a little bit about you and all the unbelievable, just fabulous things that you've done. And starting with The Nanny, which everybody knows is a complete classic, still was on the TV and probably will be on forever.
Well, that would be great. I mean, yes. I'm so proud of it, and it was such a great accomplishment. It's really to tell, you know, your parents, I want to be an actor, and then actually make it is really like hitting the bullseye. I mean, it's one in a million.
I know. And
It's a miracle.
You know, it's just fabulous. And to watch it and to see you, it's just classic. What can I say? It's beyond fabulous. Beyond.
You really know, life unfolds in really curious ways. And that whole show came to me because I was going on a vacation for the first time without my then-husband, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really the first time that I had ever said, you know, if you want to stay home, stay home. I'm going. And this was kind of part of my journey to discovering myself and learning how to be a little more independent and a little less codependent.
Yeah.
So I cashed in some frequent flyer miles. And I got on a plane to visit a girlfriend who I wasn't even that close with, but she said, come visit me. I just got a summer house in the south of France. And it sounds fancier than it was. And what she neglected to tell me was that she was bringing her two toddlers. And I had never lived with kids before. And I thought I would lose my mind. And then, you know, I had just finished a short-lived series with Twiggy, and when I called Peter, I said, this is no vacation. I don't know what to do. And he said, well, Twiggy called and said, since you're so close to England, you should come visit her and her husband, Lee, in London. And normally it was all I could do to get on the plane and get to Catherine. So to then switch my, you know, flights and go to London and everything, you know, normally I wouldn't have had the motivation to do it because I wasn't the world traveler that I am today.
Yes.
And I certainly wasn't used to doing anything by myself. So
mm-hmm.
this was a huge milestone for me. But, you know, as my book on, what's it called?
Antoining?
No, the one that I read every day, but thank you for plugging my book into writing.
Oh, I didn't even get started talking about things yet.
Offerings, my offerings book. It's got like Buddhist kind of wisdom.
What is this book?
Oh, it's so. I'll get you one every
right.
day. You know, you read. It's every day of the year is accounted for, and you just turn the page. I keep it in the kitchen because in the first thing in the morning, I go into the kitchen. So I open, you know, and it's always open. I turn it to the next page.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was, you know, you can be afraid of leaving, you know, the coastline and not sailing out to discover things and still be, you know, like a spiritual journeyman.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you got to push yourself in life. You got to push your boundaries.
It's
you
so
got
to
go beyond your limitations.
Yes.
And that's what I was doing. And I got paid back, you know, like in spades because
unbelievable.
On the first plane, I ran into the president of CBS at the time, and
so
talked him into letting me and PETA pitch some ideas for me to CBS when we all returned. And then I go to Catherine's. I couldn't deal with being there because the kids were always crying. And then Twiggy called, so I went to her, and I was with her little 12-year-old daughter, because Twiggy also didn't mention that she and Lee were actually working and not really available. But I guess they didn't realize how codependent I was, and they figured I'd stay with them, we'd have some dinners together, and I'd go touring by myself. But I wasn't ready to scale like a big city that I wasn't that familiar with back then. We're going back 20 years. And so I was schlepping the little girl with me, and all of a sudden she says, "Oh, Fran, my new shoes are hurting me." And I'm like thinking, what does this kid want me to take her home? And I said, sweetie, step on the backs of them. And she said, "Won't that break them?" And I said, "Break them in." And I thought to myself, I kept thinking, wow, this is a funny relationship, because I'm not telling her what's good for her, I'm telling her what's good for me.
Right, right.
And I couldn't get it out of my head. And that night I woke up at like 5 a.m. London time, but it was 8 hours earlier in L.A. And I dialed PETA, and I said, "Listen, I think I have the idea for the show that we should pitch to CBS when we get back." And I said, "What do you think about a spin on The Sound of Music, only instead of Julie Andrews, I come to the door?" And he said, "That's it. That's the show we're going to pitch." And that was the beginning of The Nanny. And, you know, I it's not been off the air worldwide one single day in 20 years.
It's beyond spectacular, Cuzzy. Beyond.
So, you know, it goes to show you that you got to just go and live your life, because you never know where opportunity is going to knock. You never know where, you know, an inspiration is going to come from.
Absolutely.
But you can't, like PETA was just staying home waiting for the phone to ring. Depressed that he didn't get a job or whatever. And I was like, you know, I'm going. And it was very brave of me at the time, because it wasn't in my nature to break away from him and then go do my own thing.
Right. And,
but it was very positive reinforcement.
It's true. It's wonderful to do that to all the women out there. You know, I took myself to Venice.
Yes,
you know, for that
week,
and didn't even speak Italian, but it was such a great experience just to get out
and
there.
Tell him how when you got there you were crying, because you thought, "What did I do?"
Forget about it. The first night I was there, I called Alice and I was crying. I said, I was like, "I don't know what I'm doing here." And then I pulled myself together and I said, "You know what? Get yourself dressed and get out of the room." And I did. And it was one of the best weeks I've had in my life.
Talking to yourself and talking yourself down from your fears and the ties that bind you is a daily practice.
Yes, yes.
And,
you know,
when I was once in Paris by myself, and I found myself in the room watching, like, CNN, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm in Paris. What am I doing laying in bed watching it? But I didn't want to eat in a restaurant again. I had already eaten. And I said, you know, go to a movie. There's a million movie theaters. Take a walk down the boulevard and go to a movie. So I walked. I went into a movie, not even a movie that I wanted to see necessarily, but it was in English because it was, you know, a voice original, it's called. When you see VO, it's in the original voice, and it was an American film. So I went in to sit down in the back row, which is where I usually like to sit. And who is in that row but one of the most gorgeous men I've ever seen, looking up, smiling at me, graying at the temple. So I'm thinking, okay, there are men that are this gorgeous and age appropriate.
Absolutely.
And, you know, he's been like my Paris squeeze ever since.
That's so cool. I know.
He's
know
an artist and a beautiful man.
He's gorgeous. I saw his picture. Didn't you see him this past trip?
I sure did, baby, because when I'm between relationships, you know, and I'm in Paris.
Absolutely.
Right?
I love it.
Nasir's the man for me.
But that's great. I love it. So, you know, it's not only, you know, the nanny, but I just need to mention, because just mentioning these things, they were all spectacular, from Saturday Night Fever to American Hot Wax, Hollywood Nights, Dr. Detroit, This Is Spinal Tap. I can go on. Jack, The Beautician and the Beast, Living with Fran, now Happily Divorced. I mean, and there's a zillion in between. But
yeah,
these,
the Fran Drescher talk show that you were on.
Yes. Yes, the Francis talk show that I was on. I mean, that
you know,
was
I'm always reinventing myself.
It's wonderful.
You have to, when a door closes, you got to push open a window and fly through it.
Absolutely.
And not feel defeated, but feel like it's just an opportunity to do something else. We're all capable of living many lifetimes within one's life, and we write different chapters. So chapters come to end, as they do in business, they do in relationships, you know, they do in life. And then you have to start writing a new chapter. You have to always picture yourself as the star of your play.
Yes.
And everybody
well
else
put.
Is, you know, a player in your story. And, you know, you're not a victim. Just write
mm-hmm.
a new, start writing a new chapter. This chapter
I love that.
Ends, and write a new one and make yourself the star and move.
And it's great.
You know,
and you certainly
I mean,
do
sometimes
that well.
My girlfriends, what?
You do that so well. You
I,
go
well,
from
it's,
one
you know,
thing
again.
To another.
It's not to say that you don't cry and kick and scream and
of
say,
course.
Why me, Lord? But at some point, you got to stop that, pull yourself up and say, okay, well, what's a good novel without the heroine having her heart broken at some point?
Yes.
You know, so then, okay, now what happens to the heroine? She always finds a new strength, a new resilience, a new discovery, and
yes.
always then a new love.
Yeah, true.
And that's what life is.
That is what life is. And, you know, it reminds me, because Being Wendy is such a great, you know, children's
Thank you.
Book.
My
you know,
children's
it's like,
book, yeah.
It's so fabulous.
Somebody
the one
said it would make a great musical on Broadway.
Probably.
It's
oh,
so
definitely.
Visual
well,
and such a great
you know,
family.
The one and only Fran Drescher's Being Wendy is a heartwarming story that encourages readers of all ages to embrace being true to who they are. And that's exactly what it is. And it's such it's a wonderful, wonderful children's story. I love it.
Yeah,
and I'm glad that we're
well
not wearing
received.
Our boxes.
You know, I want to leverage this kids' fandom that I have from The Nanny. Children that weren't even alive when I was shooting the show are now completely enthralled with the repeats. And for them, they're watching it for the first time and loving it. So there was a lot going on at the time that I started. I was inspired to write Being Wendy with particularly the conversation in America was bringing out of the closet kids being bullied, kids who were marginalized for a myriad of reasons, not only for their sexual orientation, but also for being fat, for being skinny, for being black, for being whatever it is, for being different from, you know, the rest, or for just being picked on by a group that decided to vent their anger at this one poor soul. So, you know, I wanted to celebrate a kid's individuality. I wanted them to realize that you don't have to be put in a box. You don't have to be like everyone else. You need to celebrate exactly who you are and present yourself in that light.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody will come around. And if they don't, move. You know, move. And so that's what Wendy is all about.
Yes, and that's what she did. And like I said before, I'm glad that we're not wearing our boxes.
Exactly. We are always outside of the box thinkers.
Yes.
And I applaud us for that. It's sometimes, you know, people look at you like you got two heads.
Right.
But for me, you know, I've never been a conformist. I think that's part of the reason why being an actor was alluring to me. Because the idea of working in an office in a 9-to-5 job in a windowless, you know, space was just not appealing to me, and I would have done anything, including I went to hairdressing school in case the acting didn't work out, because
right.
I always thought that I could do something creative with hair if I were a hairdresser. I liked doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
so,
I
you
that.
Know, I kind of set myself up to always have a little bit of a creative outlet and to make my own hours or do my
mm-hmm.
own thing. That
which
was
is,
always important to me.
Which is the ultimate, really. And from, like I mentioned before, Enter Whining, which was a New York Times bestseller, which is just spectacular. It just goes through your whole life, and it's so personal. And, you know, the last thing that it says on the cover, it's like hilarious anecdotes and never-before-seen snapshots of your family and the whole album. And what it says is so true. You feel like you've spent an afternoon with a best friend. And the last thing it says, so relax, grab a knife, put up your feet, and get ready for a side-splitting, eye-opening ride with America's sexiest funny lady, Fran Drescher. I love that on Enter Whining on the cover.
Oh, that's so sweet. You know, it's that was the first book I was asked to write. That was kind of at the peak of the Nanny success.
Mm-hmm.
It's a memoir, but
yes,
it's autobiographical, and just explores from childhood through getting the Nanny launched. So that's kind of like starting out an ordinary girl and moving into quite extraordinary situations. And it also includes the chapter Bad Things Happen to Good People,
yes.
Which it talks openly about, you know, my being a victim of violent crime. I was raised at some point in my own home. So, and then later, several years had passed, and life offered me another bowl of lemons, and I had to turn it into lemonade when I was diagnosed with uterine cancer. And so eventually I remember when I decided I was going to write a book about what happened to me, because it took me 2 years and 8 doctors to get a proper diagnosis.
Yeah.
And so I said, I'm going to write a book about this so what happened to me doesn't happen to other women. And that became the New York Times bestseller, Cancer Schmanza.
Absolutely. That was
But what I
next...
also realized from the book and the book tour and the lecture circuits that followed was that what happened to me has happened to millions of Americans by means of misdiagnosis and mistreatment.
Yes.
And so I realized that the book was not the end, but just the beginning of what's now become a life mission with the Cancer Schmanza movement.
Yes.
And I hope that all your listeners go to cancerschmanza.org, because this is a great passion of mine and something that, you know, is a very big part of my life in trying to turn patients into medical consumers.
Mm-hmm.
Activate women
so
to
important.
Become more proactive about their bodies, become better partners with their physicians, learn the early warning whispers of the cancers that could affect you, and know the tests that are available, because all too often they're not even on the menu at
right.
the doctor's office. And all of this is available on our website at cancerschmanza.org. And now we've launched this major...
It's the 6th anniversary, correct? Isn't it your 6th? Happy 6th anniversary on June 6th, I believe, correct?
21st.
Okay.
June 21st, which is also my anniversary of wellness.
Yes.
So I will be 13 years well.
Yes.
And the organization will be 6 years well. And, you know, it's amazing how in the 13 years since I was cured of my cancer, and in the 6 years since the organization was activated, there has been definitely a shift in consciousness which has been raised, and I see we're on this big campaign to trash cancer by detoxing your home.
Yes,
so
it's perfect.
It's a big prevention campaign, and living a preventative lifestyle is key to reducing you and your family's risk of cancer. And since the woman remains the largest consumer in America, and worldwide for that matter, it's very important that she know that the home is the most toxic place we spend the most time in.
Absolutely.
And we can actually make healthier choices for what we bring into our home and effectively reduce our risk of cancer.
Right. And the first thing we need to do is we need to detox our homes, and that's where you and I come together here, because we need to get rid of the clutter. All these, you know, toxic chemicals, whether it's in your medicine cabinet, underneath, you know, in your refrigerator, underneath the kitchen cabinet, it's toxic. You need to clear it out and get rid of it.
That's just, you know, that's what we say. What, you know, take the, what are you putting in, on, and around you? Don't get overwhelmed. Don't throw your stuff out because you paid hard-earned money for it. But when it's time to replace it, try and choose something that's less toxic and more eco-friendly. If
Absolutely.
It's eco-friendly, if it's good for the planet, it's probably good for you, because we are one large living organism. And so we're all very codependent, very linked in a way that I don't even think we have a global view of. And so we have to respect the interactivity of ourselves, the planet, our environment, and all the people that are around us and all the living creatures on God's earth. So, you know, what are you putting in your mouth? What are you putting on your skin every day? Deodorants, lotion, toothpaste.
Nail polish.
What are you cleaning with and what are you gardening with? Just start with that. And you can go into cancerschmancer.org and click on our good guide.
I know. I love that.
You can put in a product that maybe you've been buying and gives you a warm, fuzzy feeling because your mom and your grandma bought it too. But most likely we will rate it for you, and we have rated it on a 0 to 10, 10 being the worst, 0 being the best in terms of toxicity. And you may find that a lot of things from your trusted brands are not really in your best interest. Once you master the in, on, and around check, choose, and change challenge, then you'll see, you'll start to be looking at everything differently. And, you know, I've cleaned out my house. The food that comes into the house is all organic.
All organic,
The products that I use to clean a garden with are also eco-friendly and, you know, toxic-free, carcinogen-free. And then what am I putting on my skin? What am I brushing my teeth with?
Yes.
All of that. What am I putting under my armpits as deodorant? All of that. It has ingredients that you read the ingredients, and it's like stuff found in your grandma's garden. That's all very important. You learn how to, and we teach you also on at cancerschmancer.org how to mix your own products. If you don't want to buy, you know, a lot of these things now are a little more expensive to buy than things that are your, you know, your big plain wrap brands. But supersize me stuff. But at the end of the day, you're not really doing yourself a favor. You're better off mixing lemon and white vinegar and alcohol baking soda and mixing your own. And with that stuff, and we teach you how to do it at cancerschmancer.org, you can make anything from cleaning your surfaces to cleaning your windows, cleaning your floors. Anything you can do with those few ingredients. And then, you know, when you're cooking, now you can even buy organic at Walmart. So it is becoming more mainstream.
More
mainstream. I would rather eat organic beans and rice.
Oh, me too.
Than eat, you know, something that's loaded with. If you eat a strawberry that's not organic, you might as well be eating a sponge soaked in pesticides.
It's so true. It's so true. But listen, Tazi, I just got an email, and this is perfect for what we're talking about. This is from Betty from Maine, and this is a really good question. She says, are your preventative cancer tips only for older aged women, or do they apply to young women in their early 20s? That's a good question.
Yes, it is, and it is for all, it's for all women of all ages, but it's for families, it's for children, it's for men. You know, this is not age, exclusive. In fact, because we are inundating ourselves with the propensity of toxins and hormones and pesticides and carcinogens, we're bombarded with it on a daily basis everywhere we turn, and particularly in our home, we are seeing changes in people of all different ages. Kids are getting diseases that historically were for much older people. Older people are getting diseases that they never got before. You know, that men are getting increased breast cancer. You know, so it's like we are on slipping down this rabbit hole towards our own demise.
Mm-hmm.
And we really have to step back. Sometimes
Yes. It's
hard to see the frame when you're in the picture.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
But you have to force yourself to step away and see the forest for the trees.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, what comes to my mind is, you know, what should people do when they first think that they're not getting the care that they deserve? I mean, that's something that's really important also. You know, people get so overwhelmed. But
right. Well, getting overwhelmed is, you know, your first mistake, because you have to be very proactive.
Mm-hmm.
When you suspect that there's something wrong with you, do not become infantile. Do
mm-hmm.
not fall apart.
Good advice.
Do not
mm-hmm.
deitize your doctor. He is not a god. He's a busy person. He's under
mm-hmm.
a lot of pressure from health insurance to go the least expensive route of diagnostic testing. And at the end of the, when the doctor calls and tells you you have cancer, at the end of the day, he goes home and eats dinner with his family. You go home and eat your heart out with yours. It's your life. Take control of it. Steer. And, you know, and if you feel like you are overwhelmed, be smart enough, and I talk about this in my book, Cancer Schmancer, bring someone with you who is not going to make it about them and fall apart and get all worried that you feel like you have to be strong for. This person is a designated person to be in charge of you.
Yes,
to go with a pen and a pad
mm-hmm.
with a list of questions
mm-hmm.
when you get to the doctor, and then write things down when the doctor answers the question. And if they say a big word that you don't understand, ask them to spell it. So when
yes.
you go home, you can look it up on the internet. You can do your own research. This is so important because, mm-hmm. you know, you cannot hand your life over to anybody. It's your life.
Yes,
your
we
family.
Need to be in control. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Totally.
And, yes, and you wrote, you know, you said something. You said, we need to take control of our bodies, become greater partners with our physicians, and galvanize as one to let our legislators know that the collective female voice is louder and more powerful than that of the richest corporate lobbyists. I love that.
Yes, and, you know, I'll tell you something, and this is a perfect example. We all grew up for many, many, for generations,
mm-hmm.
that Johnson & Johnson No More Tear Shampoo was safe for babies.
Mm.
And for years, moms have been washing their kids' heads with No More Tear Shampoo because it's supposed
mm-hmm.
to be so mild and it's no more tears. When in fact, it was determined that it was loaded with formaldehyde, which is toxic.
Mm-hmm,
toxic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of like-minded NGOs, including cancerschmancer.org, really put pressure on the Johnson & Johnson company by making this known to women who were the biggest consumers,
mm-hmm.
and also making it known to our legislators. And because of the power of consumerism and the power of the vote,
mm-hmm.
Johnson & Johnson, to their credit, voluntarily changed their formulation. And this is just within the past, like, 2 years.
Right. To be
so,
more
now. So, you know, mm-hmm. it's very important that we understand that we cannot be apathetic. I'm a chubby girl from Queens in my core.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I go to Washington and I make a difference because I'm an American citizen,
mm-hmm.
and that's my right to do so.
Absolutely.
And at the end of the day, manufacturers do not want to kill us. They just want to sell us.
Mm-hmm.
And if you make it clear to them what the purchasing trends are, if you want stuff that's more chemical-free, more toxic-free, more carcinogen-free, then stop buying that stuff. And I promise you, they will change their formulation.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I've never met an elected official that didn't want to be reelected.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, even if a community of women made 20 calls to your, elected official, your congressman in your neighborhood, your senator in your state, you know, that would impact them. Because they start to hear, so there's a group making noise amongst my constituents, and that can impact my reelection.
Yeah.
So I have to listen to that. And that's the way it works, folks.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's
you
the
know,
way.
We are not impotent. We
mm-hmm.
are not children. We are this nation.
Yes, absolutely.
And we have to take back the power. And here we are at the onset of the 21st century. It's only 2013. When you think about what was going on in 1913, women were just, you know, picketing to get the vote.
Right.
We didn't even have the vote yet.
Right. And
visionaries' ideas tend to take hold at the beginning of a new century. So
mm-hmm.
here we are at the beginning of a new century, the beginning of a millennium.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when visionary ideas take hold and set the trajectory for the next 100 years. This 100 years, this 21st century, must be about living a preventative lifestyle, changing out whatever was done wrong through the Industrial Revolution of the 20th century.
We need to simplify. We need
yes.
to get clearer.
Everything old is new again.
Yes. We need to simplify. We need to get clearer in our homes and in our minds, really.
Throw
and
out all of it.
Yes, the clutter. It's just, it's once you get
you know,
rid
of
it, you're
and part of that, cousin, is stopping and taking some time to hear yourself think, to hear, you know, your inner voice is what's closest to your creator.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much noise. And so many people usually tugging at you and expecting things. And it's very hard to hear yourself think. So I always tell women that, you know, part of even practicing, you know, getting organized, like
mm-hmm.
you preach,
mm-hmm.
is to stop. Stop and take like 5 minutes out of your day to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And meditate keep, you know, just being quiet is really important to be still.
Mm-hmm.
And
clears your mind.
Yes. Because the house, as you well know and preach so eloquently, is a reflection of what's going on in your head,
absolutely.
In your life,
absolutely.
You know, in your home, all of it. It's
mm-hmm.
all one and the same. It's all you.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
why we feel so good when we start to do spring cleaning.
Of
because,
course.
And I spent a lot of time in psychotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I would come in and I'd say, you know, oh, I feel so good. I cleaned out this closet. And she said, well, usually there's something in your head that you want to clear out.
Yes.
And you physicalize it first.
That's so true. That is so true. We need to clean up our physical world before we could start cleaning out our emotional world.
That's
so that's
true.
Why I encourage everybody out there to clear the clutter in your physical world so you could start working on your emotional head clutter.
Yeah, and you know, we get attached to things, but
of course.
In my book, in the offerings book, The Buddhist Wisdom, the whole thing is every day there's some kind of message of, you know, to really be free, you got to let go, let things go.
Absolutely. And that,
let
things
go. Don't get attached to things.
Yes, yes. And that's so true with the little, you know, stories we tell ourselves or the negative things that we tell ourselves. We need to let those go so we can feel free and feel fulfilled and feel good about ourselves.
You know, I've met a couple of people who are absolutely devastated when their homes went up in flames. I've met like two people that at one time in their life, they lost everything, and it was monumentally devastating at the time. But as they began to put their life back together, there was a lightness that they started to feel unexpectedly because they could just bring back in exactly what they wanted, and they weren't weighed down by all the stuff.
Exactly, because, you know, it's like my home is really filled with everything that I love. So when I walk in here, energetically, it's like I just love being home because there's no clutter.
I love my home too.
Right, because everything in your home is what you love. There's no clutter. There's no negativity. And that's the point where we all want to get to, you know?
Yes.
Talking
you know, my manager, who you know, Elaine. And I talk about her in my books. She is a wise old owl. Many, many times throughout my life, she has said something that has helped me to get through a passage that I was in. But one of the things that she always said was to live simply is to know everything. To live simply is to know everything. And, you know, if you can master that, I guess you've reached another level of your involvement as a human being and as a soul.
That's great.
You know,
that
let
great
go,
impact.
Let love. And that's true with everything.
Absolutely.
Letting go of pain, letting go of anger, letting go of judgment, letting go of insecurity, letting go of fear. And when you start to do that, you start, you know, you
feel lighter.
You feel lighter. You hold things in. You hoard things in the house. You hold in things in your heart, in your head, in your body, which is why disease happens.
No, absolutely.
Disease,
sure.
You know, because you start to create big pain blocks in your flow. And we're all big energy forces. You have to let that energy flow. And if you hold in pain, and I really think that, you know, one of
that's
the contributors to my uterine cancer was that I held in the pain of the rape.
I was still
subscribing to that Wonder Woman thing that so many women suffer from, where, you know, you have to kind of keep a stiff upper lip and carry on. And deprive yourself of feeling your feelings and feeling your vulnerability and feeling your pain. And I had set myself up to be everybody's caregiver. And I never made room for myself and my needs and my pain and my vulnerability. And I never really was comfortable asking for help. I was more comfortable giving, not taking.
And,
you know, that's actually not only like a neurotic kind of manifestation of an issue that you may have from childhood, but it's also narcissistic because you deprive other people of the joy of giving because you're uncomfortable with it.
Yes,
so you make it about you all the time. And the cancer actually turned out to be my opportunity to turn that around. I had to get cancer before I felt justified in asking for help. And I was already in therapy, and I knew that I had this problem. So little by little, I was doing little things that were milestones for me. You know, being able to say to somebody, no, you know, not really going to work for me, but you go ahead and do it.
Taking
instead,
care of yourself.
You know, in the past, I would feel like, okay, I'll just do it, and then I'll do what I want to do after that, and after that, and after that. And I kept putting myself on a back burner to please other people, to make other people happy. And it begins to, you begin to feel like a bird in a gilded cage.
Absolutely. Yeah, we all need to go take care of ourselves. And
put yourself into the equation, ladies.
Yes.
It's
put yourself,
really important.
Yeah, to take care of yourself and put yourself front and
if
center.
If you don't take care of yourself, you know,
no one else
then,
is going to. It's
and you've missed the point of this life.
Mm-hmm.
It's your journey.
Yeah.
You must stay focused on you. You can't save the world. Everybody's on their journey. And, you know, you can be there to love, but if you can't love yourself first and foremost, then you're not really giving love. You're really giving power to your neurotic impulses.
Absolutely.
Which is to be in denial of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that.
No.
So you have to start little by little changing the habit. And one of the great things for anybody that's out there still smoking cigarettes, which always shocks me because, you know, I don't know how much we have to hear that it's one of the biggest contributors to cancer and one of the easiest things to control, but not the easiest thing to quit. And this is my point, because I was a smoker and I did quit. And people sometimes say to me, you know, I can't, it's too hard. And it's like, I love it so much. And it's like, nobody quits because they stop loving cigarettes. Hello? That's not why you quit. Nobody quits because it's easy to quit. It's never easy to quit. In fact, it's one of the hardest habits to break.
Mm-hmm.
However, and here's the silver lining. When you do quit smoking, and it ain't easy, but I brainwashed myself into realizing that, you know, you do the crime, you do the time. So the crime was smoking. The time is that difficult passage when you're reprogramming your body language to not grab the cigarette when you're having a cup of coffee or when you're anxious or when you wake up in the morning or after a big meal or when you're stressing, whatever. To change that habit, that's the time when that you serve until you can really reprogram your head. So that's the difficult time when many people slip back into their old habits and fall off the wagon. And let me tell you something. On average, it takes you 8 to 16 times to quit before it really sticks. So every time you quit and then you fall off the wagon, don't beat yourself up and say, oh, I've tried so many times, I can't do it. It's like you can do it and you're getting closer to do it because on average, very few people do it on the first several tries. So it's a good thing if you try again. Because the more you do it, the closer you're going to get to the one that really sticks. And then the real silver lining, when you finally get free, that's when you become, you're kind of like an ex-smoker when you're doing the time because you still feel the urges and you still keep talking yourself off the ledge.
With anything,
but then,
when
you're free, that's when you're set out of, you're set free from jail, and then you no longer have the impulse. Then you become a non-smoker, and you look at other people, and you think, ugh, smoking, and I smell now because that person was smoking, and I smell my clothes, and how could they do that, and their breath stunk, and I'd never kiss an ashtray mouth, and all of this. So, but the real silver lining is that everything difficult that crosses your path as subsequent to quitting smoking becomes more manageable, more doable, more able to handle because you can say to yourself, if I quit smoking, I could get through this. If I quit smoking, I could quit this man. If I quit smoking, I could quit this relationship. If I quit smoking, I could quit this job that's killing me.
Because it's so major. Yeah. We can
It's pivotal. It's life-changing for the better.
Yes, and we can all do that.
And then you start a new chapter.
Yeah, yep, and we can all do that. It just takes time and patience.
Perseverance.
And drive, perseverance, believing in yourself, standing tall.
Totally, you just took the words out of my mouth.
And it's difficult, and, you know, but But we need to do that. We need to do that
for
ourselves.
It's an opportunity to become a stronger person.
Yes, absolutely.
A stronger person. And, you know, and you do. You know, you do. You, when, if you are victorious at this, you know, you can master anything that comes your way in life that's difficult. And listen, life's going to bite you on the butt. It always
does. It does. This is life. This is life.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And, this has just been really great. And, you know, I did want to talk to you about, you know, the trash cancer, trash clutter. We probably going forward should just do something together with that because it's really on the same page. We really need to think about that. But
we should do a conference call with Sue, my executive director, Sue Holland.
Yeah, we should do that because we've got to get people just moving, just clean out your medicine cabinet, you know. And
you know, your brother Reed
that you
is
need
now
to
on my board.
Hmm?
Your brother Reed is now on my board.
I know.
He's our treasurer.
That's fabulous.
Yes.
That's great. So,
you know, the more that the family adapts the, you know, remember the King family when we were growing up on TV?
I don't know.
The King family, they were a big singing family. They always had specials on. I used to love watching them when I was
a kid.
Well,
you always, you know, it's always
we're
nice.
We're the dressers.
Yes, we have to. It's like I had Cousin Ronnie on the show. You're on the
show.
Yes,
Cousin Ronnie came out to visit recently, and your dad and Ed are coming out soon.
I know, next week. It's really nice. And Allison's down in Florida with Steven, so I'm just, like, overjoyed.
Oh, good. She's a wonderful daughter. You have great kids, and it's a credit to you.
Thank you.
When I meet great young people, I always credit the parents because, I mean, you know, it's usually a big part is the parents. I mean, or some older mentor that changed their lives.
Yeah, I agree.
For the better.
I agree. It's a lifelong job.
You don't grow up to be a good young person without the guidance of some elder that helped you to form, you know, good character and self-esteem.
The backbone of
being a productive, useful person.
Yeah, I feel very fortunate for Allison and Andrew. They certainly are really spectacular. But I want to thank
you.
Thank you, Kazi. Mm-hmm. Oh, this has been just great. And
I want
you
to come out and visit.
I know. We should put something down on the calendar. I really could use just to hang and have some
break.
Fun. Yeah, yep. Let's talk, you know, in the next couple of days and let's put something down on the calendar. I'd love that.
Yep.
That would be great.
Next time I come on the show, I think that we should talk about a little more about how you and I, you know, as divorced women, independent women, for the really the first time, got the wanderlust and became world travelers. And you can do it on any budget, by the way.
Yeah.
But what you discover about yourself is so important.
Do that. Let's do that next show. We'll talk about just us and our. That would be great. That would be great.
And I hope everybody does go to cancerschmitz.org.
I was just going to say.
And you know what? Join the movement because I will then send you emails, which are so incredibly important with all kinds of updates. And then, you know, because we don't always discipline ourselves to go to a website. But if you join the movement, and it's free to join, then I'll come to you and I'll email you with all kinds of important things that can change you and your family's life for the better.
It's the website's great. The blog is spectacular with all those amazing, amazing photos. I mean, the site is great. Everything from, you know, trash cancer to the Franz Vans to, you know, to the cancer control, the 32 steps you can take right now. So there's so much information out there. So we want to encourage everybody to go there. And, again, I want to thank you so much for being here. I love you, love you, love you. And
I love you. We are so similar, how first cousins We're like the Patty Duke show.
I know. We finish each other's sentences. We think the same thing.
Yes. We've always been very close, even when we were small children.
We're lucky.
We are lucky. We're blessed.
We are lucky because
we get older, you know, and the older generation is no longer with us, you know, we're going to be each other's support groups.
Yes. And we are, and I'm grateful.
And by the way, my mom praises your mom for being so helpful with Aunt Frieda. And, you know, she's
lovely.
Like a daughter to her. And
yeah, well, Aunt,
really...
you know, she was like my grand, you know, Frieda and Manny were always over the house. We were always so close to the family. I mean, it was just wonderful. And that was, it's really great that my
movies.
Yeah, so spectacular. So much more. I could stay on for another hour, but our time is running here.
Well, this is a good catch up.
Yeah,
and I'm glad you do this because you've got a lot of wisdom to impart with your listeners, and you're a great lady, and I applaud you for all of your accomplishments and your, you know, your continuing desire to grow and learn and improve yourself as a human being, because that's what this journey is all about. And I hope to see you soon on one coast or the other. And I love you.
I love you too, cuz. I will
and
talk to you soon.
Thanks to all your listeners, and go to cancerschmantz.org and join the movement.
Join the movement now. I love you, love you, love you. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye, Doe.
Bye. Wow. What a spectacular, spectacular show. Always great to have my cousin here and all the great information that she shared with us. Again, visit cancerschmancer.org and sign up for information. And until next time, this is Meryl Starr, and you're listening to Let's Get Organized with Meryl Starr. Have a wonderful day.